Well, I'll tell you what I would like to accomplish. Divide up into three shiurim. I think if we limit the questions to just basically make sure the person doesn't, it's not clear what I'm saying, so I need to repeat it. And other questions I take afterwards. Now, punk tonight after, actually, I promised the laws I'm going to limit them tonight. So, at 9:30. So I'm not going to take a lot of questions afterwards, but eventually we'll get to the questions. I see there's three different shiurim. The first shiur will cover the topics of what makes a person into a nida, go through the halachos of maris adam and ksamim, and the halachos of vestis. That's what I'd like to see the first shiur covering. Hopefully we'll be able to get through at least into vestis. The second shiur I see would like to cover the halachos of the zayin nekiyim and the harchokis, zayin nekiyim, Hefsek Tara, etc., those halachas. And the third one I would like to see would cover the halachas of Chafifa, Chatzitza, Tefillah, Shabbos and Yom Tov, and some halachas of Muberis, Yoledes, and Menika. That's how I see the division of the three shurim. And again, the schedule, so this tonight is, and then 2 weeks from tonight is the next one. And after that, it's to be determined. I'm going to guess it's either going to be March 3rd, which will be 2 weeks later. Or alternatively, it's not going to be then. It's probably going to be probably your chance to be March 10th or after Pesach. So those are the we'll see what the story with that is. Okay, I would recommend people taking notes. Since we're not charging, with these people can support for the ink and the paper to charge for the notes. Okay. Torah says there's a concept in the Torah called the woman becomes a nida, and one mistake which I would like to correct before we start is that the definition of nida is not menstrual flow; it's uterine flow. The difference those two are quite different. And menstrual flow obviously the woman's regular period, which occurs according to some type of interval. Any flow, as far as we're concerned, for halacha of this purpose, any flow which comes out of that, which is from the uterus, would make a woman into a nida deraisa. The only case where it doesn't, I'm gonna try and give just one more, maybe one more line of introduction. I'm gonna try and give the shiur on three levels, some very basic points of chazara, which I think this way everybody will feel comfortable in the basic points. Those points. Probably will sound very familiar. Hopefully it will sound very familiar. There'll be some halachas which are trying to understand the concepts behind certain halachas makes it easier to remember them, and then go through some practical points also. I just want to clarify the nature of a woman. The Baruch Hashem created in the uterus a layer which is called endometrium, which is made to support and nourish a child through the process of from conception until later. Eventually there's a placenta there which takes over that job, but it starts on endometrium. Endometrium has a very high level of blood vessels, and it bleeds very easily. So there is a concept in halacha called a makah in the rechem, in the uterus, which would theoretically not be dam nida. The Chazanish says the following: If an instrument will touch a person's arm, it won't bleed. If an instrument touches the endometrium, it will bleed. So that's not a regular maka. That's something which is unique to the endometrium. That is considered uterine flow that makes a woman a nida deraisa. If it would be a type of a maka which would cause a person to cut and bleed on your arm, and that's what's making it bleed, that'll be true in the uterus also, and that would also be a maka which is not dam nida. That's dam maka. Now, how do you know when you have dam maka, there's no dam nida besides it? That's very difficult to figure out. And therefore, we always have this problem. Because of the nature of the endometrium, it's very sensitive. It bleeds very easily. So that's when we discuss the concept of being tarlan dam maka inside of the rechem. It's very rare we're going to be using that. You're going to have a doctor coming along and telling you that he's visualized and seen it, etc. Otherwise, you're not going to be dealing with that. So that's why I just want to clarify that point up front, because that's a mistake. People say, well, it's the middle of a month, it's not a menstrual flow, it can't be a nida. Anything which is is a flow due to the uniqueness of the endometrium is considered a nida. Okay. The Torah does say, however, that to be considered a need of the raisa, so there's a halacha that has to be with hargasha. It has to be that the flow came out of the body with what's called, referred to in halacha as hargasha. It says, dam, it says, zayva bivsoro. She has to be margish bivsoro. She has to feel it. She has to be, there has to be some awareness that it's happening. There are three definitions in halacha of what hargasha is. We'll see what those are in a moment. But that means, according to the vast, most poskim, that's what we pass halacha l'maisa, that means if a woman would have a flow of dam out of her body, you know, we know it's from her body. If it's not bargasha, she's not tamei d'oraisa. That's what that means. Again, the requirement of hargasha means that even if we have a flow of the body, which comes out of the body, we know that it comes out of the body. According to most poskim, or many poskim, but most poskim, that's going to be, that would not be neither d'oraisa because there's no hargasha. The applications of that we'll see as we go along. The definition of a hargasha, there are three definitions of a hargasha. One of them is, the Rambam says, Eloshon Amnis Dazei Agufa, that the body shakes, body trembles. There's some, now, what exactly that means is difficult, because Rabbis can assume that we, nowadays, even a woman is not aware of the hargasha, she probably had a hargasha, she probably would be aware of the fact that she had this tremble, etc. So therefore, there is a suggestion to understand what the Rambam means. Chassam Sofer explains the Rambam to mean of a person, sometimes when they first start to, a person, man goes to the bathroom, he first starts to pass Meraglayim, there's a little bit of a feeling of like an akitza, a little bit of a pinch. That's what the Rambam is referring to. So it's not this tremendously overpowering, or body shaking up and down, etc. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, the Shulchan Aruch feels that the makor is opening up. And the third one is, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it means zibras davar lach, that a person feels a flow of liquid of a liquid coming out bifnim, which means not coming out of the body out to the surface, means coming out of the cervix into the what's called the beis achitza and into the vagina. So that is, again, not a very common thing to feel, to be aware of. Poison grapple with the fact that nowadays women seem to get their flow, their period, without feeling any one of these things. So that means she's not a need of the raisa. We assume that there probably was a hargosh and she wasn't aware of it. That's what Mershah says in the Tshuva. We, Noruch HaShulchan, says like this also, that we assume that nowadays if a woman gets a full period, we assume there must have been a hargosh and she wasn't aware of it. If a woman has one of these feelings, and actually further, even if a woman has a feeling, if she feels a flow of dam coming out, or not dam, excuse me, of a liquid coming out from further down, coming out of her body, she has that feeling of a liquid coming out of the vagina out to the outside of the body. If a person has that feeling, the basic heat is the outside, a woman has to make a bedikah. Even though normally we discourage bedikahs, here's an example where a person has to make a bedikah. If a woman makes a medika, and even if she found, so if she found a mar, which is tameh, she's tameh. She found dam, she's tameh. If she didn't find anything, she's tameh. Because we assume that there must have been something there, because she felt something, and she must have gotten lost, because she felt something. So we have a idea of something coming out, we have not been mavar that what it is, so we assume it's a problem. If she found the mar, which is tahara, so we were telling her that was what she felt, and therefore the mar is Torah, she's mutter.
What does that mean, she didn't find anything?
She did a bedikah and something on the bedikah cloth. Okay, so if she did a bedikah...
Well, assuming that the hargasha wasn't if we didn't find anything, it wasn't hargasha, then
she was... Well, that's a possibility, but that you have to ask a shayla.
Well, is it she tahara?
If she does a bedikah, she finds a mara which is yellow. She goes to Rav and says, that's clean. Oh, no problem. She finds nothing, she's tamea, because we assume there must have been something, and she didn't find it. It got absorbed into the skin or whatever, something happened, she didn't catch it. Okay. Now, that's clear in halacha. If she feels the flow coming out early, further, deeper in, she must do the bedikah. If she feels the flow going later down, so the person say that it is correct to do a bedikah. That's not, they don't call it a chiyuv gomer in that situation. If all she had was that was talking about her gusha of a flow. If she had a case of this Zeya Gufa, which we mentioned on the deal, was that she feels this like a pinch or something like that. That's all she feels. In that situation, if she doesn't find anything, she is Tahara. So if she feels a Ziva Stavralach, Bifnim, so then she must do a Badika. If she doesn't find anything, she's Tameya. If she feels a Nizazeya Gufa, this feeling of that type of feeling, so then already, if she didn't find anything, we tell her that in something else, and that's a Chokhmah Zot. But in the case where she felt a feeling of a flow of a liquid, so that we have to assume that there was something there, and she must have not found it for whatever reason. Okay, that's a case. So that's one of the cases where halacha requires a person to do a bedika, because otherwise we don't know what's going on. We need to do a bedika in that situation. It's not a common issue. I don't want to stress it's not a common issue. And usually, the time that we'd be feeling that would usually be around the time of having her flow anyway. So it's not that relevant. But you have to be aware that such halacha exists. Because there's a requirement of Hargosha to make a woman a Nida Daraisa, that is why we have a concept called Ksamen. Ksamen Mara, we found that woman found blood which potentially came out of her body, and there was no Hargosha. So it's not Daraisa. It's not Daraisa because it did not come with a Hargosha. So all of the kulas, which we'll talk about shortly, of the lachos of Ksamen, are based on this fact. We're not dealing with someone to Daraisa because there wasn't Hargosha. Okay, now, we know there are very different, kulas about ksamim, but when dealing with the deraisa, none of those kulas apply. So if a woman clearly has a hargosha, so we know we're clearly dealing with a deraisa. If a woman has a flow, we say assume that there's a hargosha, we're dealing with a deraisa, so these kulas do not apply. When is it the point where a woman's considered that the flow has started? She transfers from being a situation of ksamim to she's becoming a real nida. Where is that point? And that is challenging in halacha. The poskim do not in Shulchan Aruch. There's no mention of this issue. Why? Because in Shulchan Aruch it was always common to have a hargosha. Still a few hundred years ago, hargosha was common. Actors of people say that 100 years ago in Europe, hargosha was still common. So already it wasn't uncommon thing. So it's very clear: a kasim was a kasim, and hargosha was hargosha. The Aruch HaShulchan already says that it was common already in his time that women were not feeling a hargosha. So this is a new mixoya, which we don't. But we have to assume there's a hargosha because it's not mistaber that a woman would not. It's described in the law, so this is how it happens. So there are two suggested shiurim which are given. Again, these are just try to define what's a natural way of understanding this. So one is if a woman would be. A woman, if a little bit comes out of not all women are created equal. If a little bit comes out of their body, so it goes in their garment, doesn't bother them that much. If a large amount comes out, they want to put a pad on. This way that they don't have to deal with that their garment's getting soiled, etc. When a woman transfers from the point where she would be putting a pad on, so not as opposed to no pad, we are assuming a flow is starting. Now, of course, the woman says, I don't want to put a pad on because I'll become a eater. Because the pad is white, right? The garment is not white, right? So we rephrase the sentence. Had there been no such concept called Nida in the Torah, would you be putting a pad in? The answer is yes. Then you're a Nida. You answer that, So again, the phrase is, if there be no issue of Nida, you're not trying to avoid the halachic status of Nida, would you be putting a pad in? Yes, because there's something coming out of my body. Well, it means you're having a flow, and therefore you're a Nida, therefore the pad is not is low matter of the murder, because there's no issue of a pad on a Nida anyway. It doesn't help you. Another way of saying it is a woman, they feel that they're starting to change their garments a few times already because it's getting full of liquid. It's a similar type of idea. That means you're starting to have a flow. Another way of saying it, which some people suggest, which Rabbi Forrest in his English, at our school, English, Hilchos Nida, says he's not found the makor for this number. He says you find a stain which is the size of a half dollar. Again, he's not found any source for that anywhere with any source for that size, but that's the idea. Okay. So before we get into lachos of ksamim, let's just talk about so a woman finds dam in her body, so we say that. if it is with hargosha, it's tamei. It's not hargosha, it's torah. Well, it depends what color it is. So, what are the colors? Just again, you're not going to be passing the colors yourself, but you will pass in the colors yourself. After a while, you get used to it. You know, this, I don't have to ask a shayla about this is a color which is not a problem. This is a color which is a problem. Person beginning of their career obviously is asking more often. So the bottom line is, unless this thing is bright red, you should be asking a shayla. I want because. And now most of you have had this experience of going to a Rav with a Mar, which you thought for sure was no good, and the Rav is saying that it's good. Yeah. Really? Yeah, it's good. You know, like, you know, so part of the Rabbi's job is to make you have that wonder, like, how do you do that, right? But red is a problem and black. Halachically, red and black are problems. That's clear in halacha that red, if it's a red mara or it's a black mara, either in a situation of a kesem or in a situation of a bedika, the mara is going to be, red or black is going to be a problem. It is clear in halacha that if it's lavan, it's white, or it's yorek, so yorek is up for discussion. What color is yorek? Whether it's yellow, green, blue and green are not a problem. Orange is not a problem. Some places can worry about orange, but let's say orange is not a problem. White is not a problem. And yellow is not a problem. Brown is a machlokes. Brown is a machlokes, and within browns itself, there are different types of brown. Not all browns are created equal, and not all person are going to be matter all browns. And they're not. And they, even further than that, they will not be matter all browns, depending on which type of bedika it is. A hafsitara is more chomer. There are persons which will say they're not getting out there brown on a half sektara. Other bedikas, they will. There are persons which will say they're not getting out there brown on a half sektara or a moich dochuk. Other bedikas, they will. Now here's a case I want to point out to you. The persons which are machmer on a half sektara, if the half sektara was good, they're not machmer on the moich. So the person says, well, the moich is good. Why do I have to worry about the half sektara? You do. Because if there's no hafsiktara and the merch counts as the hafsik, the color brown will be a problem on it. Am I making sense? In a case where the person comes and she has a hafsiktara which has a color on it and it's a good color, and then she has a hafsiktara which is brown, so well, the hafsiktara is good. I can be lenient on the merch. If there's no hafsiktara, I mean they did have, but it wasn't a good color. They didn't show it to the rav. And he said, well, there's something on it. I don't know. So then he asked the machmer on the moich, is that was the hefsik. And then he'd be machmer on the brown. So you always want to bring, and I'll give you even a further example. Let's say a woman does two hefsiks. Right? So I want to see, the person will want to say, well, the only last one is relevant. Not necessarily so. Because if the first one, if the second one is brown, but the first one was good, was a better color, so then the brown doesn't bother me. I'll ignore the second one. But if it's a brown, so I can make it on a brown if it's not the hefsek tara. But if that's the only one that they see, then that was brown, you have to be machmer on it. So there are scenarios where you want to bring all your, you want to be aware that you don't just, well, again, if it's total red, just throw it out. You know. But otherwise, a person will want to be aware, is this the only hefsiktara that she made? Is it what were the other colors? Can he see them? So those might be relevant. You have to be aware of that. You should be aware of those. That you want to bring those along. Okay. While we're talking about the halachas of bring bedika to ask a shayla, you should not leave the bedikas for too long. They do change color, and it's harder to pass on them. The mice of the rov will pass them as he gets them. Sometimes it's a mile for you, sometimes it's a chasorin for you. But it's not proper to do that because the colors do change. You're not getting a real bona fide psak. So I have a situation where on day six, all of a sudden somebody comes to me with 5 days worth of bedikas. That's not optimal to do like that. The person should bring the bedikas earlier as they happen. That's number one. Most poskim would prefer to pass on a shayla by day, so if you could bring it in a way which is possible to look at it by daylight, it's much better in halacha to look at it by daylight as opposed to artificial light. Daylight usually gives you a kula. The only situation where poskim would be passing by night is leil tefila. You know, well, wait, you know, leil tefila. So if a person has to pass him in, he'll pass him by night. Even there, sometimes, you know, I can't pass him by night. We'll have to wait and push the tefillah for another day, and we'll see what the psak is tomorrow. Okay. Let's move to Summit. Okay. So Ksamim again is not the Raisa, because there was not Hargosha, and therefore Chazal put four kulas into Ksamim. There are four leniencies in Ksamim which Chazal put in because it's not the Raisa, so there are four ways that they were makel to say that the Kesem is not Tomei. There are other kulas about Ksamim also, we'll see what those are separately. Regardless of the idea whether it becomes Tomei or Tor, so there are four things that are makel. Number one, obviously, is that it has to be the size of a kegris, the size of equivalent of a kegris, and that is assumed to be halacha, the size of a penny. So if a woman finds on her garment spot which is very small, she's not sure if the color is red, it doesn't make a difference. Even though the garment is white, and it's, you know, doesn't make a difference, but it's not the size of a kegris. So I've had many times a woman comes in with something to look at, you know, it's not like a grizz. Like, you know, that's not relevant to a bedika, it's only relevant to a case of a garment. Bedika has, we'll see why bedikas are different. That's the first kula. Now, let's say, and this is correct in halacha, and we're not playing games, that a woman sees she's having a few different, you know, she's spotting, she's not having a flow, but she's spotting during the day. She has something in the morning, something later in the day, etc. It's happening. So she's afraid that if she keeps the same garment on, it'll add up to one large kesem larger than a kegris. She's a lot of change in the middle. In fact, as a matter of fact, it's correct if she wants to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. Say, I want to change in the middle, that each one should just be a kegris, less than a kegris. And that's not called you're circumventing the halacha, because again, halacha didn't say it was tamei. In this situation, the halacha is only tamei if it's the size of kegris.
What's in the same garment? You have different spots.
Now, okay, so the spots on a garment, spots are not mitzdarif. On a body, spots are mitzdarif. A woman finds spots of dam on her body, which look like they're part of her body, which could come from osam malkum. They could come from the rechem. If the conglomerate of all those little spots will add up to a kegris, she's tamei. If she then, let's say, she needs to ask it to the shayla, so she wipes them off her body onto a cloth and takes it to the rav. Again, so since they came from the body, that's when she can wear them and they're on the body, he will pass them all together as a conglomerate. In a case where it's found originally on the garment, each spot is independent, as long as they're clearly distinct. But if there's something connecting them, so we look at them as one. Now, if what connects them is a mara, which is mutter, so we will look at them as distinct from each other. So that is the first kula is the halacha of kegris. The second kula is halacha of beged tzavua. The Chazal did not create a halacha of ksamim on a garment which is colored. Now, the definition of color, I've had this question, well, is this color enough to be considered colored? If you have a garment that the only way you can tell that it's colored is when you put it next to a white garment, it looks colored. Otherwise, you can't tell that it's colored, it's not considered colored. Right? If I can only tell it's colored by contrast to a white garment, it's an off-white, it's a beige. You put it next to white, ah, that looks like beige. There's no white garment, oh, that looks pretty white to me. That's not considered color. But if it's clearly considered, it's clearly obvious that this is a color, even though it's a light color, it's clearly obvious that it's a color that is mutter, that's not a problem, of that's considered back at Savua, and there'll be no halacha of ksamim on it. I do want to point out, some people do this, they have very dark garments to wear. I'm not a fan of it. The reason I'm not a fan of it is because there are scenarios where if it's close to the period, etc. And a person comes and says, you know, am I really anticipating my period? What should I do halachically? So I can't tell. I can't. It's so dark. I can't tell. Person comes to me on a light blue pastel. I can, you know, it's mutter, but I would advise staying away right now because it's very olo based on what I'm seeing over here. I can't tell you that. You give me a black garment. So I'm not a fan of it. And I, Baruch Hashem, I found that Rabbi Forrest in his book also is not a fan of it. So I'm not the only Meshuggah. You have enough Meshuggahs together, not considered Meshuggahs anymore.
But like striped with white?
Now, if it's partially colored or partially not colored, it's partially. So, if I find the kesem, if I find a kesem which is half on the, you know, it's one kesem, half on white, half on colored, I ignore the part on the colored. I only measure it based on the part which is on the white.
Why do I like the black?
I don't like the black because there are times where halakhically it's mutter, but I can tell the woman's, based on what I'm seeing, that the woman's going to get a period soon. If I advise that they should not have, etc., I can give that advice when I see a color, when I can look at the color. If I can't look at the color, I can't give that advice. Okay, the third heter which Chazal put in was the halachas of Taliyah. That if we could explain that the source of this colored stain on her garment is from something else other than the flow of body out, flow of dam out of her body, means it's the size of a kagris, and the garment is white. But I have an explanation for how that got there, so for a kesem, that's going to be mutter. So, well, she was in the kitchen and she was working with, you know, bloody chickens. Right? Well, so her hands got bloody and then, you know, she went to the bathroom, she touched the garment. That's a possibility, which, you know, it's possible that there's another explanation for how this blood got there. So I have another explanation in halacha. Again, I can't make it up, but I know that that's what happened. Right? So then I can say, well, this dam that I find over here came from that. There are limitations to that. The person to deal with, well, if I have a situation where in her inner garment there is something there, in the outer garment there's nothing there, or she's wearing an undergarment and stockings, and, you know, there's nothing on the stockings, something on the undergarment, well, it's not logical that it came from the outside, so we're not going to be toiling in this other source, but a case where it would be logical, we could do that. One very common issue, of course, in halacha is a woman who has hemorrhoids. So you tell her any dam that she's seeing is would be tell her that that bleeding is coming from that.
So how does she?
Now, this halacha that you're allowed to make a taliyah doesn't work in halacha during the first 3 days of Zayin Nekiyah. Less than a kagris applies during Zayin Nekiyah. If a woman is wearing a white garment and she finds a stain which is less than a kagris, she's tahara. It's the middle of Zayin Nekiyah, doesn't make a difference. But the lach of Taliyah, bedavar acher, doesn't apply for the first 3 days of Zayin Nekiyah. In the case of a woman has a maka, which is yadua shematzi adam, that works even the first 3 days. So there I have a idea that there's something coming, there's a mark inside of her, inside of the vagina, or the hemorrhoids, which is, that's creating, putting blood directly onto her garment. I can rely on that even the first 3 days. But these other types of tliyas, you know, she was in the kitchen doing who knows what, she was holding her baby, and the baby was, you know, right, you know, maybe spat up something like that, you know, I can't make those tliyas the first 3 days. So in the case of a person had a mach yudua and she found a kesem during the first 2 days, you should be asking a shaila. The fourth heter is called Dabashen Makabal Tuma. Chazal were not masak in the locha of Tuma of Ksamim, because since Ksamim Beker was a locha of Tuma, I mean, Bizman Chazal was irrelevant to Tuma and to her husband. And so was not Makabal Tuma, Chazal were not masak in the halacha. This heter applies even during the first 3 days of Zayin Nekiyah. If it's found on something which is not a makabel tuma, so it's not going to be a problem of a kesem. Okay, now, what does that mean, Lamaisa?
She's wearing wood.
So, let's go through a few potential scenarios. So, anything which is mechubar lekarka is considered not a makabel tuma. So first of all, the first example would be a woman would be sitting on the ground. That's the case the person gives, and she finds something on the ground beneath her. It's irrelevant. What about she's sitting in a toilet? Toilet is mechaber lekarka. Toilet is not mechaber tumah. So she finds dam on the toilet seat. If it's a case of kaseb, it's not an issue. Now, is it always going to be a case of kesem or not? That the question is, was there a potential hargosha or not? Hargosha wipes this whole thing out. Hargosha means, I don't care what color it is of the garment, I don't care how big it is, I don't care whether she has a tliya, I don't care, she had hargosha. These are all the terim in the dinder abanon kol ksamim. So did she have hargosha or not? So we'll see that in a second. But that's relevant to the toilet, it's relevant to the water in the toilet. It's relevant. Now a woman wipes herself with paper.
Water
in the, if it's considered mechubal karka, so it's not mechubal tumah. Paper, most places can hold paper, is not mechubal tumah. So a woman finds it on a tissue, the tissue is not mechubal tumah, so again, it would have this coolness. I don't care what color the tissue is, the tissue can be bright white, you know, 90 degree bright white. I don't care what color it is. The color of the tissue is an irrelevant point. The fact that the tissue is not mechubal tumah, it's not mechubal tumah. Now, again, we have an issue. Maybe there was a hargosha. We'll see what it is in a moment. What about a napkin, a sanitary napkin? Is that, cause that's made out of paper. So is that a mechubal tumah? And this is a very relevant question. Woman comes, she has a kesem on a sanitary napkin. Well, that's under the mechubal tumah, so it's tor. Right? And there's no reason to believe there's any situation of hargosha in that situation. So there are some places which are makel on that. The Rav Ozer and the Shevet Alevi is actually machmer on that, and the Mechuzisko is machmer on that. So it is an issue because they made it in such a way that it approximates a kli. So maybe that is considered as a mekabel tumah. Or alternatively, there's so much in there. We're worried about that. There's a large amount because it doesn't allow you to really see how much is in there. That's why they're machmer.
What was the sanitary napkin?
A pad.
A pad.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, when are we concerned about a possibility of hargosha? So there are three scenarios in halacha where we're concerned about a possibility of hargosha, even though she's not aware of it, besides the menstrual flow. One of them is a woman would find blood immediately after having relations with her husband. We're concerned that maybe she had a hargosha, but since the process of having bia, there was other things going on over there, she didn't notice that hargosha. So we're concerned if she finds it immediately afterwards. Either you find it on the beggar that they wiped themselves with, or they find it on the man. So it came from her, right? He doesn't have a maka, or they found it on the woman. They found it on the sheets. They found it immediately. Now, how long is what's called immediately? The person can grapple with the shear. It's somewhere between 1 minute to 10 minutes. If it happens, you should ask a shayla on that. I'm not going to give a final, you know. The Maisa, well, there might be other considerations, so you have to ask a shayla on that. That's one possibility where we're concerned about. The second one is on a bedika. A woman was not aware that she had a hargosha, but she did a bedika. Well, maybe the act of the bedika itself masked the hargosha. So we have to be concerned. She found dam on this bedika. Well, there's no hargosha, it's only her bonim. So it wasn't besides her gagris. They're not going to say that on a bedika. Because the bedika itself acts as the act which will mask the hargosha potentially, and if we have to be concerned, we're dealing with the rice. Therefore, the color, the size, nothing is relevant. And a bedika, we're going to be machmer on a bedika, no matter what size it is. And the third one is a woman goes to the bathroom to be matam eraglayim. Again, it's possible while that's happening, there was a hargosha, and that was masked by the process of going to the bathroom. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on that, and he says, so a woman that goes to the bathroom, she wipes herself afterwards. So what do we deal with that? If we deal with it as a hargosha, so then the tissue is not going to help you. If we deal with it as not a hargosha, so it's on a tissue, so it becomes irrelevant. So he says like this, again, Chazal said, if it happens immediately afterwards, miyad. What's called miyad? Rav Moshe says, the time a person will normally lapse between after they finish relieving themselves, before they wipe, is called not miyad. That's not immediate. When is immediate? A baby is crying, the phone is ringing, the person is running to get out, so they don't wait, you know, give themselves a little bit of moments before they wipe themselves. They wipe immediately, that's a problem. So the first question, I guess, somebody calls me up and said, I found something on a woman. You all know the rule. Don't look, right? Well, she looked, right, of course. She found something on a tissue. So my first question is, was she in a rush to get out of the bathroom? No, she wasn't in any rush. It's a good Sunday, throw it out and leave me alone. Right? It's not in the gate. Oh, she's in a rush. The baby was crying. Oh, now I need to see the... Now the tissue is irrelevant. I need to see the mirror and see what it is before I can tell you the go-bite. So the three scenarios where we're concerned about the possibility of her gosha are immediately after Tashmish, immediately after Bedika, a case you found on a Bedika, and after going to the bathroom. Okay.
But the toilet, the fact that the toilet's in the Kubel Karka or the water itself doesn't matter anyway, because she's going to go into the bathroom and then it's assumed her gosha.
Let's go back to the case of the toilet. So we said the toilet is not a Kabbal Tumah, and the water is Mechubah the Karka, is not a Kabbal Tumah. But if I'm telling you, wiping afterwards, we're worried about it. So Kabbal Chayim Mashas, the actual Hatola, so we should be worried about it. So therefore it comes out, it becomes irrelevant. Interestingly enough, the Pesachim do not necessarily say that. And the Pesachim which say the Mashmos, the more it deals with it is the Kassim. And the Mor has a whole discussion, it's brought down in Simon's Kuf Tzadi Aleph, about this issue of women finding blood in Meraglim, and we're concerned about it in certain cases, yes, certain cases, no, because of this problem of Hargosha. Because otherwise, like, what's the issue? We found it on the ground, we found it in the water, whatever it is. But there are still many cases, there are still will be cases where we make. So a woman tells me that she found it on the toilet seat. Right. So I don't know that necessarily happened during the Shas HaTolos Meraglim. It might have happened afterwards. So I can be makel on that. It wasn't the size of Kegris. So that's not what you want to be. You definitely. Oh, I'm totally forget it. It's a big problem. You should be asking a shaila. You will be, because it's very possible that we can find kulas in that. A person has a kesem and they lose the kesem. I had found it in my garment. I lost it. A person makes a bedika. And they lost the bedika. That never happened to any of us, of course, right? So there's two shilas over there. One is if the wife loses it, one if the husband loses it. There's always the shalom bias issue if the husband loses the bedika. It's a shalom bias issue. So we deal with the bedika in the following way. A bedika which, if it wasn't necessary, we deal as if the bedika wasn't done. So if bedika wasn't done, bedika wasn't done. So do another bedika. So a woman has to do bedika on Yom Avest. She does a bedika, she loses the bedika. So do another bedika. She has to do a bedika on Yom Avest. So we consider the first bedika that's lost like it wasn't there. Okay, so you're right now on Yom Avest, you need to do a bedika. So do a bedika. I was the first one. I'm not mechiv to worry about the first one. She's becheskes taro, and I'm not mechiv to worry about the first one. She has to do a bedika at some point in time because that chazar makayiv do bedika yom avest. But the fact that she lost the first one is mechesed tara, and it's not a problem. Hefsek tara, she lost it, you better do another hefsek tara. Okay, she does bedika's yom rishon of zayin nekiyim. I need to know that there was a bedika zayin rishon. She didn't do bedika. Okay, no problem. Over here, she's mechesed tuma. I need to know that she's tahara, that she's now not seeing maras which are tamei. So now I have a big problem. She loses the bedika during Zayin Nekiyim, so that maybe that bedika was a problematic color. She needs 7 clean days. She can't have any time during the day when she's not tamei, when she's not clean. And she had no. So in that situation, the lost bedika will be problematic. She'll lose the days up to that point.
A lost kesem.
So now, what about lost kesem? So lost kesem, look, we could argue that either there's a sort of either you could say kesem tahara. It's a sophic. So it's, we don't know what it was. She wasn't sure what it was. So sophic about the kula. So the person say like this. The person grapple with this. There's a halacha in Hilchos Sveikis that even by sophic about the kula, by sophic which is called a sophic chasar yadia, is loy shmei sophic. So do we deal with the situation where it's lost as a sophic chasar yadia? And therefore it's loish may sofik, or do you see it as a sofik be'etzem, which would be your sofik derbanan, which is the kula. So that is the mechlokes in the poskim. And depending on possibly other circumstances, we might be matter or not. If that's the situation, you definitely want to be asking your rabbi.
Why is there something to be also Zayne Kesem?
Well, again, in the case where I had a Cheses Tara and I don't have because I'm a Chayv Bedika and I don't know what the status of the Bedika, so I ignore it. Over here, Kesem, you know, I have the issue of Kesem Lefaneinu, or there's some of them are complicated because there are different maras, which there's a few steps behind the Cheshbon. I don't want to get into it right now. Let's say one says, you know, I know what the color was. I lost the bedika. I know the color. I brought it to you before. You've been matter it. Can I be makel? Like this is so if she's confident, of course, whenever I ask someone, you know, it says, are you confident? They say, no. And, you know, like, are you confident that this is a mara? If you're confident, the loch of this mutter. The woman will say, you know, I really feel confident this is a mara, which is tahara. I've been asked it time and time again. I recognize the mara, it's not a problem. The loch is that she's tahara. She's nemanis. But she has to be confident. Usually they say, no, Rebbe, what do you think? I don't think anything. It's, you know, it's all your decision. They don't want to take their cry. So then I can't do anything for you. But if they're willing to take the cry, it's soon to hate. I do want to point out that this is really just a side issue. Talking about bedikas, the common issue which I have with women coming with bedikas is that they scratch themselves. They get irritated by doing a lot of bedikas. A woman does half sick, didn't work. She does another half sick, didn't work, etc. You know, the softer the bedika, should be clean, obviously. Should be white, should be clean. That's, you know, those, you don't need to be mechadash yet. Women should check them beforehand. They come with, fascinating enough, little threads. Some of them actually are red, of all crazy colors. I found red threads in bedika cloths. Some of them are on the surface, some of them are embedded. Of course, well, you know, so sometimes you look at me, you know, sometimes I'm looking over this magnifying glass. It's something you cannot visualize at all with your eye. There's no halacha. No, there's a little red thing over there. Look, oh, it's a thread. It's a red thread. So you should check the bedika cloth before it's used. It should be soft. Now, there's some of them come, they're not soft. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her taking and putting into a stocking bag, putting into the wash with some fabric softener, making them softer. That's a good idea. I happen to be an advocate. Old, worn-out cotton T-shirts. We pass on the halacha. Cotton is the preferred material to use. Cotton T-shirts are male T-shirts. Cut up a cotton T-shirt. It should be large enough. It should be, but you know, those are very good for bedikas. So if the husband's willing to contribute to the cause, that's a good idea. You want something which is going to be. About 4 to 4 square inches. That's about the size that you want. Make sure that she's able to cover, the area which she needs to check. I had a situation. This is correct in a local case. A situation. It was a Shabbos, and they were somewhere and they couldn't find any bedikah cloths. So a woman borrowed her husband's T-shirt, and didn't cut it up and used the sheet T-shirt to do bedikah. That's fine. You know. So that was the bedikah. It was done on the T-shirts. That's fine. Okay, when are bedikas required? So Hesef Tara is going to require bedika. Meich Dochuk, Zayin Nekiyim, we'll talk about when we get to Zayin Nekiyim, what's the minimal. Now, a woman has to do a bedika on Yom HaVest. A woman has to do a bedika on different types of Yom HaVest. And we had the case before, if she felt as if it was the relach, she has to do a bedika. There is one more scenario where a woman has to do bedika, and this is relevant way back when, in the beginning. A person gets married, a woman who doesn't have a vest kavua is supposed to do bedika first 3 times before and after tashmish, to be kavad that she doesn't see because of tashmish. Now, the shach is makel on that, and there are many persons which are makel on that bidyavid. That's my psak on that. For sure bidyavid, you didn't do it, don't worry about it. You didn't do it, don't worry about it. And I actually make it many times up front, the chatchila, like the shach, even though it's a shulchan aruch, you have to do it. And it's a riff, and it's all these mishayim. The shach says not to do it, and many times it's better not to do it. Because, so, if you never heard about it before, That's why. Okay, if you heard about it and wondering why, you know, and you did it, send the hate. You didn't do it, don't worry about it right now. A woman to use a bidik, it has to be because she cannot use a tampon. I just had this shadless woman came to me last week. They put a tampon and they wonder if that counts as a bidik. The answer is no. That does not count as a bidik.
Can a tampon be used as a glove?
No, it doesn't really, you know, move around the area where you need to do it. You could try and open it up and roll it out, but that's I don't think it's going to work well. There is a question: if a woman is having difficulty doing bedikas and she wants to moisten the cloth, thereby making it a little bit less irritating to the body, etc. So she's allowed to moisten it slightly. That's not a problem. Alternatively, a woman wants to put some type of a lubricant liquid inside of her body earlier in the day. Not immediately before the bidik, because that might mask any damages there. Early in the day, allow it to help it heal a little bit. That's also mutter. Do not use Vaseline. This Vaseline is not healthy. It's a health issue. It's not healthy for a woman to use Vaseline. KY jelly is fine. Something of that sort. Okay.
Is there a certain time period? That has to be, you said earlier in the day, but is there a time?
Yeah. I think if it's let, I would, I'm not comfortable it should be at least an hour beforehand. But I think they say it's an hour or 2 hours beforehand. Okay, a woman goes to the doctor. She has something, she's going to the doctor for some type of checkup, procedure, etc. And afterwards they find Dom. So what's her status, etc. The concern in Halacha, there are a few concerns in Halacha. The first concern in Halacha is a concept that the Mora talks about. It's called Ein Psichas Kever B'Lo Dam. If there's an opening of the uterus opens, whatever that means, we'll see in a moment. So we assume there's bleeding. Which means even if you don't find any bleeding, it's still considered to assume there's bleeding. We assume in Halacha that there was Dam. There's machlokes on the poskim, and that refers to only the internal act of opening up, which a woman's ready to give birth. It happens automatically. As soon as it opens, there's assumed that there's dam, if that's what it means. Or it means even if it was forced from the outside through an instrument going in. We assume in Allah, it means even if it was forced from the outside. So if a doctor was putting an instrument into, all the way into the uterus, right, so in psich kevrul adam, that there is dam. What's called psicha? How large is opening is called opening. How far is called open? How far in does it have to penetrate to be considered open? So, in Halacha, there's a machloikis, and if you learned in Eretz Yisrael, you learned in America, you get two different answers. In Eretz Yisrael, the shear that they use for psichas kever is very small. Anything with larger, between 3 to 5 millimeters, they already consider the psichas a kever. So, if a doctor putting an instrument in which is 3 to 5 millimeters wide, and it's going all the way into the uterus, they're going to say psichus kever. That's the answer you're going to get in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe Zatzal was more makel, much more makel, and he was makel up to somewhere between 1.5 and 1.9 centimeters, I mean 15 to 19 millimeters. That's quite larger than the shear of Eretz, that they have over there in Eretz Yisrael. It's 3 to 19 is 6 times larger, right? There's almost no instrument that will be going into that will be going into a woman that would be that large. So according to Moshe, that becomes it becomes basically a very minimally relevant issue in that situation. But that's one question. The next question is, how far in is called psichas hakever? And this is my big machlokes in Halacha, just for your basic anatomy of a woman. So the outer area is called the basic chitzin, the prosder, there's the vagina, then there's the cervix, which is the sabar rechem, and then there's the rechem of the uterus. In the tzavar rechem, in the cervix, there are two openings. There's the external as and the internal as, plural is astia. And there's a machlokes in poiskim, which the external as is means the opening from the cervix into the vagina, and the internal as is opening from the cervix into the uterus. Which one is called Psichus HaGever? That's a major machlokes. And the many persons which are machmer even on the external ass. The reality is most standard procedures that a woman is going for just a regular checkup, that even that will not be penetrated. And therefore that's not a considered problem. Therefore a woman goes for a pap smear, even if she finds blood afterwards, we don't have to worry about it. There's no Psichus HaGever. A pap smear causes bleeding. And we said that bleeding is from the cervix, not from the outside of the cervix, and therefore it's not considered a problem, and she would be tahara. Mm-hmm. What questions do you want to ask your doctor? Now, preferably, if your doctor is a film doctor, that makes life much easier in halacha because he has nemonis. If it's a non-film doctor or it's a non-Jewish doctor, so there is limitations on his mnemonis. We hold the doctor will not lie because he doesn't want to be marim nosai, but the doctors have been very nice many times. They want to try and help their patients. Yeah, I'm sure this is uterine bleeding. Thank you very much. Is it? What does that mean? I'm sure it's uterine bleeding. You know, it's not uterine bleeding. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure it's not uterine bleeding. You know, so his, I'm not sure. Well, nobody's ever checked and see, you know, why not say it? Make you feel good. So I don't know what that means. So I want to know, okay, what procedures did you do? And if I'm knowledgeable enough and I know what the procedures are, I says, well, I know that this procedure, so they did a hysterosalpingogram, there was something put inside inside of that rechem which can cause bleeding from inside. Now, so if I know that beforehand, so I want to know, what did you do? Okay, what type of instrument did you use? How far did it go? How large was it? Did you see blood? So that's a question that I want to be, you know, as a poisik, I want to be getting that information from either the patient will be asking the doctor, or if not, you know, sometimes they'll talk to the doctor directly, you know, okay, you know, get your HIPAA issues taken care of, and, you know, suit the doctor directly and say, you know, what exactly happened. Okay, now, let's just point out the following. He says that he found there was some type of maka, so I can assume the bleeding came from the maka. So, if we know there's a maka there, and we know that maka normally causes bleeding, and a woman is in a zman of tahara, that's enough for me. He tells me that there's this type of maka there, that maka normally causes bleeding, even though he did not visualize bleeding. But she's tahara, and this type of maka normally causes bleeding. That's enough to say that she found blood with tahara in that. If it's b'shas vesta, he has to actually visualize that there's bleeding. So I asked, did you actually see bleeding? So yes, I actually saw bleeding from. So there was the maka. I saw this maka. There's now there might be other sources of blood also. But now I have a right to say, well, I know there's a maka. I know the maka is bleeding. The doctor saw that. So we have a right to be told on that. That's where you have a situation where you send the woman to a doctor. She comes with, you know, with the madame. We send her to a called a bedekis, which we're hoping to get one here in the city soon, Beis Hashem. Or send her to a doctor. But from the doctor, can you actually see, you know, take a speculum and look and see, what is there bleeding there? Oh, I see there's bleeding. Fine. Now, I do want to point out that the training for a bedekis, we spoke to somebody. We're trying to arrange it. Her job is not to answer to the woman. Her job is to answer to the Rav. This is a situation which, because her job is not to pass, her job is to give information to the Rav and let the Rav pass. You go to a doctor. Let the doctor. Oh yeah, everything's fine. Then you come back to me, and I decide that it's not fine. I've been in that situation where the doctor said, yeah, I saw that everything is fine, you're okay, and then they came out and said, halacha, that's not sufficient. And I hate being in that situation where I have to tell a woman who just found out that she's in day 7 and there was a dika which was a problematic, and the doctor said it was okay, and she can go, and I say it's not okay. And I've been in that very uncomfortable situation. The doctor is not supposed to be answering your he's not your poisik. Right. He gets information, the rub is the poisik. And that is important to understand. That's why when they train boitkas, they train them, they don't answer any questions. They look at information, they call the rub. which is why I want to get a bodekas here in the city. Now, in a situation, which is this is another reason why you'd have a kisrei, you'd use a bodekas, if a woman needs the bodika. So now I have a bigger problem. So good, wonderful. I find dam materla doesn't help me. Bodika has to be clean because I need to know that she's tahara. Just not enough to say I have an excuse. An excuse isn't the bodika. I'm making sense. An excuse is like, okay, if there's a problem, I said probably it came from that. But here it's not enough that probably came. I need to know for sure that she's not, that she's this. So I don't know that. When she does a bedikah, she does a bedikah two or three times, it's always in the same spot. I find on the bedikah cloth in the same spot, I find a little marking there. So am I allowed to assume that alone, based on that alone, that is enough to say that she had a valid bedikah? This is the machlekes. Chavosanim is machmer, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is mekel, so if you go to Lubav Barber Shapoyskim, he'll be mekel on that. You go to the Litter Shapoyskim, they're going to be machmer on that. But what they will do, if she goes to a bedekas and the bedekas sees the maka that it's moisi dam and it makes sense that that's where it was coming from, then you can count it as a bedika. So again, it's another case of using a bedekas, and I've availed myself. I don't have a bedekas in town, but Dr. Broth has been very kind to do that for me. Have a woman come in, and you know, we checked, yeah, and he'll, you know, tell me, yeah, I found the maka in this place, and I look at the bedika cloth, and you know, it makes sense that that's what it is, and we can make on that situation. Okay, obviously this is touching on some of the examples. There are more examples. So you're going to a doctor. If you're going to a doctor, the questions you want to know is, did he see bleeding? What type of instrument did he use? Where did the instrument go? How far did it go, etc.? And what type of procedure was being done? If he saw bleeding, where did he see the bleeding from? Did he see uterine bleeding? Did he see cervical bleeding? Did he see vaginal bleeding? What did he see? And that's information you want to know when you come to the Rav. Okay, it's 9:27. I had this chalom, we're going to get into Vestas tonight. And Vestas does not deserve to be run through because you're not going to get Vestas if it's run through. I just want to at least give one disclaimer about Vestas. The Chacham Sadam writes that a person keeps a calendar and does a few basic points, you will never mess up on your Vestas. Right. It says, and if you don't, you're trying to keep, you know, if you don't put everything, the information that you have down on the calendar immediately, you come back 2 weeks later, you know what day was it, what time was it, what type of vest was it, you know, all of those different things, then forget it. So any information which is relevant to Vestas, you must have a calendar. It's a Hebrew calendar because English dates are irrelevant. You could have English dates also, but you know, it should be, you know, the English dates are relevant in Allah, irrelevant in Allah. And as soon as a woman finds dam, she marks it in her calendar. What I do want to point at least for tonight is that does not apply to Ksama. There's no din of Vestas on Ksamim. So we said there are kulas in Ksamim in regards to that certain things we make of it, they're not Tomei. There's another kulam in Ksamim, it's not the Raisa neither, there's no din of Vestas. So a woman sees a Kasim, she can, it's not relevant for the next month and the coming month, etc. The only place where Ksamim become relevant, a woman sees a Kasim, she sees a Kasim, and then she has actual flow. Very close to her flow, she sees a kasim. And she does this regularly. So she sees a kasim, then she has a flow. She sees a kasim, next month she sees a kasim, she has a flow. So now we have a concept in Allah, what's called a vesta goof. A vesta goof means that there's certain things which happen in a person's body which are indicative of the fact that she's getting her period. Well, here it is. Every month before her period, she gets a kasim. And then shortly after, she gets her period. So that is equivalent of what's called a vesta goof. So that's the only place where Kesem will be relevant in regards to Vestas, is that scenario. But otherwise, Kesem does not create a Loch of Vestas. So next time we'll go through the Loch of Vestas and then see how much more we're able to cover. We might end up doing 3.5 sessions. Hopefully we'll not get too stuck on it. I imagine next time I'm going to bring in a calendar and show you how to use a calendar, how to mark on a calendar. And there's a system which I was taught when I was a chassan. My wife was told when she was a kala, And it's a very good system. It works very easy to use. It's like two or three things you have to remember. And after that, it just becomes very comfortable to use. I obviously use it a few times, get used to it. Now, a woman who is menekes, a woman who's a muberis, etc., many times vessels are not relevant, and we'll talk about that when we get to those halachas. So many of you are in situations where you're not dealing with vesters, because either she's muberis, or she's menekes, or she's... and we'll talk about what halachas women's on some type of contraceptive. Also, there are halachas in regards to vesters, in regards to that. So, Hashem, we'll talk about that in the next session.